right, guys. Gospel of John. Not quite 11 yet. We're in 10. John chapter 10. And we're going to work on... We're going to work on verses 30. We'll read 30 through 39 for now. Okay? So John 10, beginning verse 30. Aiden, can you... Mr. Bolton, can you start? Next year. Next year, Aiden, you're going to be jumping in with us. All right? I know you can read, but... I know you can... Yeah, I actually have him. John 10, verse 30. Aiden's turn. Excellent. I am the Father of one. Great job, Aiden.
Oh, yeah. If you just picked up stones again, just stone him.
And Jesus answered them, I showed you many good works from the Father. For which one of them are you stoning me?
The Jews answered him, saying, for a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, and because that thou being a man makest thyself God.
Jesus answered them, has it not been written in your law, I said, you are God.
If he called them God, to whom the word of God came, it should not be written.
Do not do the works of my Father, do not believe me.
But if I do them, though you do not believe me, believe the works so that you may know and understand that the Father is in me and I in the Father.
Okay. So, some good stuff there. And figure out what's going on. That basically the statement. Let me ask you guys this. Okay, before we start, what was it that caused these guys to want to take up stones again to stone him? Where's Nikki? Thank you, Lord.
Who's choking?
Roger. Can you just tell that room everything's okay? All right. All right. We are thankful to the Lord for those kind of things, aren't we? Does have a way of reminding us our dependence upon Him, and He's good to us. So guys, what caused the Jews to want to take up stones to stone Jesus again?
He was claiming to be God.
What did?
I am the Father one.
Hey, let's rewind the tape a little. Didn't this happen not that long ago? Coop, what was that one from?
Earlier, they
That was a little. I'm thinking really recently. What happened? Like, it wasn't very long ago that they'd wanted to kill him. They tried to stone him. What?
What was it when he said, "Before Abraham was, I am"?
Before Abraham was, I am, right? That was the end of 9. That's what led us into this whole discussion in, you know, the first part of chapter 10. And then we get to the Feast of Dedication and we have this transpire and Jesus is at it again. I'm just shooting straight with you. Sometimes I get a little scared in my quest to be like Jesus, to really 100% be like him, because you actually start reading this stuff and believing this stuff, and this guy's running for his life a lot. Yeah, please.
I mean, it doesn't tell us, but could you imagine what the disciples were doing? What they were thinking?
Yeah.
They're probably like, we didn't follow this guy. Sure, we want to be there.
Yeah, you can. It kind of, when you think about these things, it gives weight to when they say, we've left everything and followed you, Lord. What will they? I mean, hey, we've risked our lives. Okay, Lord, so what is there for us? Christianity. And guys, it's the same thing for us. Matter of fact, you read in the book of Romans and he talks about people who've risked, Paul says, who've risked their lives. You say it's the pattern of true Christians. And so wherever Jesus goes, controversy follows. But I want to key in here on this part. You know, the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Most of the time, guys, mobs that form, somebody set that mob in motion. You look at some of the Trump protests, people protesting against Trump. You actually start looking a little into that. Somebody organized. Some of those things, people, they paid money to get people. Because people just on their own aren't usually that motivated to actually do something. So mobs are typically manipulated. We good?
Yeah.
All right. Thanks, Nikki. Sure, I'm glad we got the church nurse. Good job, Bolt. Guys, the way that the mobs work and the way people are able to be manipulated is through emotion, not through reason. You ever seen a little ruckus break out at a football game or something? It's not usually because people are having a reasonable discussion about something. It's the, you know, little liquid courage maybe mixed in there, and all of a sudden, next thing you know, you got. And you think about the media. What's the media do? It preys on emotions. It gets you revved up kind of emotionally. And I just think it's, in contrast to that, guys, it's important that we always start with people at the level of reason. We want people to have a reasoned faith. It doesn't mean that there shouldn't be emotions. Emotions will follow and go along with that as we serve the Lord. But we want to start at the level of reason. Come, let us reason together. God doesn't want people manipulated into doing something. God wants people to follow Him because they choose to. Don't ever forget that when we're sharing with people. Okay for people to get motivated. Please don't get me wrong. I personally wouldn't mind if we were had a little more upbeat music sometimes and got into a little bit more. I'm open to that. But that can't be why we do the things that we do. Okay? As an example. So, you know, the Jews had their vision as to what the Messiah would be like. And they were looking for a Christ. They were looking for a Messiah. What? When I say that, Elena, do you know what Christ? Where Christ? The word Christ comes from. The word Messiah comes from. What does that mean? What were they looking for? To help her out.
Anointed one.
You said King. which is true. The anointed one. They were expecting a coming king, weren't they? But when these guys are looking at this, the reason they get so upset about Jesus isn't when he claims to be the king. Now they get him on that later for his trial. Where do the Jews get upset? When he makes himself equal with God. The part that they missed in their looking down and being all excited about this coming king, the part that they missed is this concept he was going to be Emmanuel, God with us. I got to share this week some prophecies of Christ's birth with somebody, and you know, just the old little town of, help me out, don't sing solos, old little town of Bethlehem. Hey, where does that come from? How do we know? How did the scribes know that Jesus was going to be born in Bethlehem when they came to Herod the Great? It was already written down. Who wrote that down? Anybody remember? I'm pushing you on this one. This was one of the minor prophets, so you aren't just going to be able to say Isaiah and get away with this one. Goof. Okay, I thought I saw your hand start to shoot up. Okay. Micah. Good job, Bolton. Under Bolton. Okay. Micah talks about that, and he says, hey, you Bethlehem Ephrathah, too little to be among the clans of Judah. From you, one will go forth from me to be a ruler in Israel. But then it doesn't stop there. Okay, they're all looking for the king. It says, his goings forth are from long ago, from the days of eternity. Shouldn't that make you? Julie and I got to do that this week with somebody, and when we shared that, it's like, wow, when you actually slow down and you can miss that if you just read that, but if you slow down, think about what that means. They missed it, didn't they? And so they wanted a Christ, they wanted a king, but probably one that they could use for their end. They weren't expecting God coming in the flesh. And so they were convinced some of these things that Jesus would say, he was blaspheming. Tell me this one. Jesus looks at a man and he says, my son, your sins are forgiven. And there's some guys on the front row, and they say, who can forgive sins but God alone? This fellow blasphemes. What was the setting of that? You guys don't want to talk? I'll make you talk.
What was the first part?
Go ahead, Coop.
Was it when they lowered that paralyzed guy down from the roof?
Yeah, they lowered the paralyzed guy down from the roof. His friends did, right? They cut the hole in the roof, lowered him down in front of him. They wanted him to be healed. And Jesus just looks at him and says, my son, your sins are forgiven. And then you kind of get the impression he keeps on going. And these guys are like, this fellow blasphemes. Who can forgive sins but God alone? Levi.
Why would they even think to ask that? Had God ever forgiven sins before?
Well, I'll tell you what. I think it's an initial reasonable question. When the priest says, my son, your sins are forgiven, I'm like, I ain't buying it. You know what I mean? So I think the fact that a guy's coming claiming to forgive sins, my first response would be,
where do you get the authority?
Yeah, I mean, I look at the Catholic priest, and he's, all in his garb and getting on the airplanes. I was, oh, we're so glad you're going with us on this plane. I'm thinking, you guys don't know this. You're glad I'm on this plane. But anyways, that guy, he's got his own special clothes, but he puts them on the same way everybody else does, right?
He's got his bling bling.
So, yeah. But you can understand why they think this guy blasphemes. So what's Jesus' response? Okay, I mean, I think it's a fair question. Let's take the paralyzed guy, as long as he brought him up. What's Jesus do to show he isn't blaspheming? Matthew.
Tells him to walk.
Yeah. He says, so you know the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. I say to you, pick up your bed and walk. The lame man picks up his bed and walks. If I say to that Catholic priest, who died and made you boss, why do you get to forgive sins? And he says, well, here, I'm going to heal. And he heals a guy. I'm going to be like, Okay, I'm going to check. This guy's worth a second look here.
Really, they had to. If they wanted to know, they really would have had to take a second look, because that's pretty much the same thing that basically we face when we present the truth. Like, you're judging me.
Yeah.
Like, no, I'm just repeating what God said, so therefore he's judging you. So, you know, that he still comes back at you and people get angry.
That's a very good point, Justin. And ultimately, we have God's written revelation now in our day, but it's the same process. What we're trying to do is get people to, hey, take a look. Jesus, at that point in time, this isn't complete. What's he say? In verse 32 of John 10, he said, I showed you many good works from the Father. For which of them are you stoning me? Jesus puts the attention where it needs to be. You don't believe what I'm saying. You want to stone me for this. But he doesn't say, you know, why are you stoning me for claiming to be God? He's going to get to that in a second. He says, you've seen my good works. You've seen my miracles, in other words. For which one of them are you going to kill me? We don't stone you for a good work, but for blasphemy. And so Jesus is going to build on that here, right? So, you know, they were correct in thinking that only God could forgive. They were correct in thinking, well, you know, they weren't like the Romans and believed in all these man gods. But they drew the wrong conclusion. They failed to look at the evidence that was right in front of them and recognize Jesus for who he is. You know, it's kind of like a lot of people are turned off by religion today. They are correct in seeing the corruption that's in the religious marketplace. In that sense, I don't blame them for it at all. But they don't follow through and get to the right conclusion. Okay? That the reason that mess is out there is because of the devil. And that there is a real God, and there is a real truth, and there is a real... So you have to be honest enough to actually follow through. Not just write stuff off.
I was just going to say, I could read something 100 times and not catch it and not see it until somebody teaches me and shows me. So I can see where they missed it. I mean, weren't they being taught on a weekly basis in the temple and whatnot? But I can see where, I mean, I can read something and miss it until somebody gets up here and I go, okay.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, they were taught weekly in the synagogues, but the teachers didn't get it. They knew that the Christ was going to be born in Bethlehem. They didn't get he was going to be Emmanuel. But Jesus himself did some teaching in the synagogues, didn't he? When he started his ministry, and he starts pulling prophecies of himself. It says, today, this very prophecy has been fulfilled in your hearing. That's the way he starts out his ministry. And then he's got these miracles. And guys, we're going to focus in for a second on these miracles. Those miracles were confirming testimonies of the truth that he was God in the flesh. Remember, what's the very first miracle that John records that Jesus performed?
Yeah.
Turn the water into wine. You know what the scripture says after that? So when Jesus, this is the first sign that Jesus performed, and he manifested his glory. There's a window here. There's an opening of the door saying, anybody want to know who he is? And then it builds on from there. More signs Jesus did. John brings out these signs establishing that Jesus was the one who, the Word, became flesh. Yeah, Levi.
Isn't that also the first time where it says, and his disciples believed in him?
It is. Excellent. They got it quickly, didn't they? I mean, once they saw it, they had to see it. So the first thing Jesus is appealing to them, hey guys, hear me out. You've seen the works. So hear me out on this, all right? I've mentioned this numerous times, but Nicodemus in John 3, he comes to Jesus by night and he says, we know that you're from God. He says, we, because nobody can do the signs that you do unless God sent him. It's the reasonable conclusion, the only reasonable conclusion. And then in John 5, Jesus has a discussion. He says, if you guys don't believe, you know, if you guys don't want to believe me, believe because of the works. I mean, look at, he actually starts laying out the testimony that God gave him through John, the immerser, through the scriptures, through his works, saying, look it, the works are testifying, they're bearing witness. You cannot, you can't just shove this evidence under the rug. Compels you, should compel you to follow up on this. Coop.
Oh, I was just going to say, it seemed like some of the Jews were like Nicodemus, and were like, something's not right here, because this guy's being used. Like, just earlier in John 10, about some of them said, well, this guy, holding the guy's been a man, born wise.
Yeah.
He can't be demons to us, but other people were, other Jews, they're saying, nah, he's the same. But
yeah.
Kind of see it, but they were just swayed by the, I don't know, hierarchy of it.
Yeah, and I think you're absolutely right, Coop. You know, the loud voices are the guys who don't believe.
Yeah.
And that's an easy thing to do, by the way. I'll just say this. If you have to prove something or you just have to try to confuse the issue, confusing the issue is much easier. All you have to do is start saying a bunch of loud nonsense and it's confused. When you prove something, that's much more difficult. But there's an important point here, Coop, that you bring up. And we don't ever want to forget this, guys. It's the same in our world today. Yeah, the majority of people, right, you're insane, say all this stuff that most of it, if you follow through, doesn't even make sense. But there's something, now wait a second. How come I've never seen this before? I've gone to church my whole life and nobody ever showed me the prophecies about Christ. And so in the end of John 10, we'll just jump down to verse 42. We aren't going to get to it for a couple of weeks, but many believed in him there. That's a little different setting. It's where it goes. But Coop, you're right. People, there are people who are listening and believing. And so don't ever give up in that sense. Just because the loud voices are the... There are the people who come to you by night. There are people who say, now wait a second. This guy who was blind, he did just open, like... Probably worth, we should probably hear this guy out. And that's Jesus' point here in this. Okay? So the Jews just come back and say, we're not wanting to stone you for healing the blind man. We want to stone you for blasphemy. They purposely missed the point, sidestepped it, and came back to what they wanted. And so, you know, that was their response to Jesus putting the pressure back on them. And so now, Mr. Dobson, for anybody who's interested actually in truth, where does Jesus go? He comes back to the scriptures, doesn't he? Anybody who's actually listening because of the miracles and wants to know, now he's going to give them a point from the scriptures. So let's actually go back to Psalm 82. While we're turning there, do you guys remember when God sends Moses down to Egypt and tell him, let my people go? Moses doesn't want to go. He's got his excuses. And so what's God's solution to Moses' excuses? Talia, do you remember? Who does Moses doesn't want to? I'm not a good speaker. I can't go. So what does God say? Do you remember? Who's he going to send with Moses? Aaron. He said, hey, Aaron's going to be the spokesman, right? But the mouthpiece. But God told Moses something when he said that. He said, I will make you as God to Pharaoh. Like, you're going to be it's going to be through Aaron, but you're going to be the presence of God for Pharaoh. You're going to make, through bringing my message, through bringing my signs even, that's going to be Pharaoh's encounter with God. Okay? Well, notice this in Psalm 82, verse 6. I don't know where we left off reading, so it's you, Caleb. Psalm 82, verse 6. Boom it out, please.
I said, you are gods, and all of you are sons of the Most High.
Okay. Wow. I said, you are gods. What? And all of you are sons of the Most High. Jesus comes back to this scripture, and he says, now, if he called them gods, to whom the word of God came? Like, the mouthpieces, through which the word's coming. Oh, and by the way, the scripture can't be broken. We'll get to that in a second. Okay, it's the part Tyler read. He says, do you say of him whom the Father sanctified and sent into the world, you're blaspheming because I said I'm the Son of God? The next line that Jesus doesn't quote that they would know is, and you're sons of the Most High. See, Jesus turned this around. I'm saying, now think. Hey, you guys be careful here. What you're doing. This is what the scripture said. Should slow down any hasty decisions here. He appealed to their law. And I like the fact that Jesus reasoned from Old Testament scriptures to present his case. We got the complete word, guys. So we get to reason from the Old Testament on into the New. And we can make that case. Anybody who's willing to listen to the truth, Mr. Dobson, when you see that. Do you remember when Mike studied with you and you first started getting that this thing was true? You guys remember, how many of you guys, when you first, somebody first was Bible study and the light bulb started going off? Anybody remember that? Isn't that fun? I remember Coop, man. I actually started studying with another guy who was a roommate of Coop's, a guy named Mark Fiesland, and I went and studied with this. And Coop was sitting in the other room. He's sitting out in the kitchen. We were in the living room, I think, is the way that worked. And what Coop was getting interested, man, is in there, you know, listening. And then he, you know, somewhere in there, I think we broke off and did our own study. And I remember I'd ask these questions because I wasn't sure that the guy leading the study always was quite making the points exactly. So I'd ask these questions because I wanted to make sure he was getting it. And I know Coop for a while thought, this is the preacher's son and doesn't know anything. but I remember being excited. I'm in college and Coop's there. And I remember seeing the light bulb go off in your head, and just the questions you would ask, you'd be like, and you'd make statements like, this guy's getting it. It's so fun to see that. Do you guys remember that? That's what Jesus was doing here. Some of these guys, the light bulbs are starting to go off. And so in verse 37, then, is after presenting the scripture, Jesus says, if I don't do the works of my Father, don't believe me. If I can't back it up, don't listen to me. You shall know them by their what? Fruit. She said, if I can't back it up, don't listen. But if I do them, though you don't believe me, believe the works. You don't want to listen to me? You don't like me for some reason? And this is my paraphrase of this. Get past it and look at what I'm doing. Be honest. See, really, that's all we're appealing to anybody anywhere. Where does the evidence lead? Will you follow it? That's our job, guys. That's our only job. A lot of the mob ain't going to believe, but there are some. There are some who will. Our job is to show people the evidence and basically ask them, will you follow it? That's what Jesus is doing. He's a master at it. Okay. Of course, most of them wouldn't. Okay. But in the middle of this, next week, Lord willing, I'll be in the Philippines, but you guys are going to get into verse 38, that you may know and understand the Father's in me and I in the Father. I really come to know God. That's where Jesus is going with this. That's what he wants. Okay. But before we get into that, we can't bypass this line that Tyler read. It's in parentheses there in verse 35. Tyler, can you read the part in parentheses again in John 10:35?
And the scripture cannot be broken.
It's weird about the way we kind of play games with God sometimes. We want Him when we need Him, but we sure don't want to listen to Him when we don't want to do what He wants us to do. And so there's this point in here. Jesus just, you know, lays out the scripture can't be broken. Because it can't be, and it won't be.
Do you know how this comes from the Greek? Because it's in italics. And in the American Standard Bible, mine isn't in red, but is it in italics?
So it should be just in parentheses.
Okay.
So it is there in the Greek. It's just saying that it's like saying the main thing Jesus is saying, if you called them gods, if the word of God came, do you say of him, but as a side, oh, hey, by the way, guys, in case you want to try to explain that scripture away, remember, you can't do that. What we tell people, Justin, sometimes, cut and paste Christianity. You can't do it. You don't get to cut that out because you don't like it. That's what Jesus is saying here. The scripture can't be broken. Now, that's not his main point. But he knows people are the same. They want to jump off this. And, well, that doesn't really mean... That doesn't... Hey, the scripture can't be broken. That is a very incredibly important point. It's important for us at a personal level to not let ourselves off the hook and try to self-justify, to be honest before God. And it's also important when you're dealing with people about what the scripture actually says about things, you have absolute confidence that this means what it says. Caleb.
Wait, so did Jesus not actually say that? Did he not actually say it?
So yours isn't in red, is that what you're saying?
Mine isn't in red, but my other Bible, I thought it was in italics.
So mine's in parentheses, it's not in italics, okay. So it is there. But mine is in red. So what the translators are telling you, they don't know if Jesus is saying this, or they're saying, if it's not in red, they're saying they think John later parenthetically put this in the scripture can't be broken. But it makes perfect sense to me, the point that Jesus is making. He's saying this. It's not the main point. But he's saying, guys, don't let yourself off the hook on this.
Only ask if people could ask it with knowledge, ask their question.
As a matter of fact, I think I could make a 99% case that this Jesus said this, because the way John deals with other things, parenthetically, he lets you know that he's adding something. He says, now this he spoke of the Spirit. He's telling you, I'm putting this in to explain this. So the fact that it's just in here, these are the words, I'm convinced of the words of Jesus. Just familiar with the Gospel of John, the way John does it, he lets you know if he's giving a little explanation on something. Okay? So, people want to hear God. People want to call on God, have Him be there when they want Him there. And they kind of want Him to take a little vacation when they don't want Him there. That's not the way God works. Scripture says it all sorts of places. We don't really have time for that. But, see, the Scripture can't be broken. This is about the very character of God. God's faithful. There was a guy, Hop and I Bible study with a guy, electrician. Actually, he's a preacher of a place called Zoe Bible Church. And any of you guys ever heard Zoe Bible? Okay. You guys don't get out enough. I mean, no, I'm glad you assembled here. Hop and I were trying to be nice. Hop was actually on pretty good behavior for Hop. Old 50 grit was being. But this guy didn't know his Bible, in all honesty. For a guy who was preaching, he just didn't know his Bible. But when we started, we were hitting him on salvation stuff. And he just basically said, well, you guys are holding God to a box. My God's bigger than that sort of idea. He says, he works in ways outside of this. Well, I'm not going to say that God... I'm not going to hold God to a box of my own making. But God Himself has said He will not break His word. So any explanation that anybody would have that's contrary to what the Scripture says, that's not God working. Now, doesn't that give you confidence, guys? It gives you confidence you can actually know. There's Levi's buddy, Earl, that I got to immerse yesterday. You know, afterward, he was so happy. He's so... Matthew has met him. Happy's not the first word you think of, this guy, apart from Christ.
But I'll tell you this. Afterwards, I was like, man, I am happy for you. I said, you're in now. You're a brother in Christ, and you're in the kingdom, and you're saved. And he says, if he lets me in. Now, he got some work to do to finish this thing. But I told him, hey, we're going to help you finish. But I said, and not if, he said. Guys, the scripture can't be broken. You are not a Christian because all the great things you've done. If any of us try to knock on that door and say, hey, let me in because I earned it. No, why are we in? Because the scripture says so. You wonder, why do you guys care sometimes so much about these hymn books and you change some of the words of the songs? And like the one big one that I'm on is, I'm definitely not singing that one so well. You ask me how I know he lives? He lives within my heart? Okay, how that? Back that up. Something to impart. You ask me how I know he lives? He lives within my heart. I hate that. Okay. No, it's not that Jesus doesn't live in the heart of the Christian. He does. But that's not how we know he lives. Exactly. Okay. There is a way. So we've changed it to something to bestow. You ask me how I know he lives. The Bible tells me so. Because the Bible is something that's provable. And God said it. And I told this guy, I told Earl, I said, I put my arm around him. I said, the toughest part for me to believe sometimes in here is the part about me. And I said, and I have to remind myself, God is always right. If God says you're in, you're in. Jesus is making that point. Hey, the scripture can't be broken. Guys, God is faithful. Sometime you would have fun. Like one morning for your prayer. Don't take your regular Bible reading, whatever you do for your prayer. Look up the phrase, God is faithful. Just look that up and start praying through those scriptures for a week or something. You will be, the way God puts that in there, it's like the anchor for your soul and all these spots you need to know God is faithful. The book of Hebrews says it's impossible for God to lie. Book of Romans says, let God be found true, though every man be found a liar. That's a problem. Every single person that we know, like every person at some point has lied and done some deceiving of some, not God. You know what kind of confidence this gives you? God is faithful. The God who spoke this world into existence, his word, he said, let there be light, and there was light. He said, he said, he said, he said, and his word was true over and over and over and over again. I love the centurion. Jesus comes down off the mountain. Got the servant wanting him to be healed. Tells Jesus, hey, I'm not worthy for you to come to my roof. What'd he say? I'm not worthy for you to come into my roof. What'd he say? Just say the word. And my servant will be healed. Jesus says, wow, this guy has faith. He understood God's word can't be broken. He says it, and it's so. That is an anchor, guys, for your soul. We could do so many of these. By the word of God, Peter says the heavens existed long ago. We know that from Genesis. And then Peter goes on and says, the present heavens and earth by his word are being reserved for fire. Anybody tells you there isn't going to be a hell? You going to take their word? Or you going to take the word that can't be broken? How about the one who upholds all things by the word of his power? I love it. These scientists, they're always trying, oh, we found the God particle. But there's something behind it. They can't explain why. I think atomic theory makes a lot of sense. It really does. Okay? You look at electrons, protons, neutrons, and just the way that electricity works. Hey, there's something to that theory. But you know what? Nobody can figure it out. there's protons and neutrons there in the nucleus. How are these electrons floating around out there? And like, what keeps the thing together?
His word.
Have fun with that, scientists. You guys keep going. Quantum mechanics. All right, good stuff. The quark. They just keep going and going and going, and we can't figure it out. It's his word. Hey, how have we been born again, according to Peter? Through the living and abiding word of God. God's word spoke us into existence, didn't he? That new creation? Let's... I don't know what time everybody else is closing up. Let's hit a few of these. I'm going to pick you guys, a couple different of you. God's faithful to his word. He's faithful in judgment. And he's also faithful to the saint. And I just want to key in on this faithful to the saint for a second. Let's see. Mr. Bolton, would you get 1 Corinthians 1? Verse 9. Levi, would you get 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13? Teresa, would you get Hebrews 13, verse 5? And Coop, would you get 1 Corinthians 10:13? We'll just... Everybody listen here when everybody's turned to read. There's a key phrase kind of in all of these. Mr. Bolton, would you get 1 Corinthians 1:9?
1 Corinthians 1:9. God is faithful through whom you were called into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord.
God is faithful. The one who called us into fellowship? Geiske? There's actually a verse I got to preach on at the Peaks. It says, there's a bunch of ifs, and at the end of it, if we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. God is never, ever going to break the contract. You know that. Man, that's good to know. Okay, Levi, 1 Thessalonians 2:13.
For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you receive the word of God, which you heard of us, you receive it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe.
The word of God, which effectually worketh, let's just say this, it performs its work in you who believe. That's God's word works. So put it in. It will work in you. We know this one from James, right? The word of God, which is receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. How many older Christians, a little bit? Coop, you've been a Christian for a long time. You ever almost felt yourself teetering on the edge, and the word of God is what pulled you through? I have. Any? Julie? Dobson? It performs its work. And you believe God is faithful. Alright, Teresa? Hebrews 13:5.
Make sure that your character is free from the love of money, content with what you have, for he himself has said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you.
I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. What's the saying? Never say never? Well, God said never. And God can say never because he's faithful. He cannot lie. He will never desert you or forsake you. And how about we'll close with 1 Corinthians 10:13.
No temptation has overtaken you, but such as is common to man. God is faithful. He will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will provide a way of escape also, so that you will be able to endure.
In the midst of the toughest temptations that you could ever encounter, God is faithful. God's going to do his part. You can count on it. Guys, the scripture can't be broken. Aren't you glad? tells you about the character of God. You have absolute confidence in it. I'm thankful for that. Caleb, would you close us with a word of prayer?
Yes. That's good. Dear God, thank you for this great day you've given us. Just thank you for the opportunity we have to all come together and go through your word. I just thank you so much for the assurance you've given us that you will be faithful to us. I just pray that we would be faithful to you as well. I just pray that we would have the right mindset the rest of this week, that we will stay faithful to you. And in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Good participation, because I forced you. I mean...